Anyway, so I'm talking to this 85-year-old woman who has more energy than my still employed body does. And she was telling me about what life was like in the city of Ferrol in the 1980s. Ferrol is a city and a port city in the region of Galicia, which is in the northwest part of Spain. And as she's speaking to me, she's carrying these pruning clippers in her hands because she has paused from after 45 minutes of shearing back some hedges in her immense garden. And she's talking to me about fashion, which wasn't surprising either because from the way she was dressed and the way her hair was all done up perfectly, her clothes were pristine, you'd think she would have been ready for a garden party in a snap. So this was not your ordinary 85-year-old, at least not one from the decades I grew up knowing. And she was healthy, active, boundless energy. She also knew a thing or two about fashion because in addition to keeping a beautiful property overlooking the city of Ferrol and managing properties in the city, as a real estate owner, she also owned or owns a retail clothes store in the center, and there used to be three. She used to go to the trade fairs in Madrid and meet with clothes makers from around Europe, Germany, Italy, France. One day she boasted, "We even managed to sell 5 million pesetas in sale in one day after Christmas sales." But that's how big business was back then. 5 million pesetas would have been about 30,000 euros in one day. It's a heap of money today. It was a fortune back then. Anyway, that's not really what I wanted to talk about, but the fact that she was talking about fashion and she was talking about Ferrol, it got me thinking about the way that city was years ago in the good old days when things prospered. The fashion and textile industry have always been a major part of Galicia's economy. You have sort of high-end places like Roberto Verino or Adolfo Dominguez. They stand out, but they're far from the only labels. Some might be surprised to learn that the famous store Zara, or Zara as they say in Spanish, because they lisp that Z, one of the biggest retail chains in the world, and its parent company, Inditex, for which Zara is the flagship, boasts over 5,000 stores worldwide. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Many people still don't associate Zara with Spain, let alone Galicia, despite its global presence. It's a fairly easy story to talk about, and one that's actually been discussed many times in podcasts, I'm sure, videos, apparently in business schools. There's a business model that people look at, certain characteristics of it, which sort of set it apart from the rest. And it's definitely something worth telling, so I'll get to that on a different day. Anyway, I was fascinated listening to this story about Ferrol as a city. It is so often overlooked. When you come to Galicia, you have other places like Santiago de Compostela, which is the star, and you also have La Coruña, which is not too far from Ferrol. Then other places like Pontevedra, Lugo, and Ourense, they get a lot of attention. Those are sort of the main sites, and then you have dozens and dozens of towns and villages in inland, and especially along the coast, which attract visitors from all over. Ferrol, however, is another story. People I know from Galicia itself will sometimes describe it as feo, which means ugly. For many, it was also sort of the least Galician of all because of its maritime and naval tradition, and shipbuilding tradition, and that made it sort of more international in character than other parts of Spain, and quite possibly less Galician. The Galician language, Gallego or Galego, is hardly spoken there, for example, although the neighboring towns along the coast and inland, a lot more Gallego is spoken there. And then you have its history. It's sort of common knowledge that the fascist dictator Francisco Franco was born in Ferrol. In fact, during Franco's regime, and even after, up until 1982, the city was officially known as El Ferrol del Caudillo. Caudillo being sort of the Spanish equivalent of the word Führer. And Franco was known as the Caudillo. And the home is still there. It's still owned by the family. There's a plaque outside indicating why it's historic. Apparently the inside is officially a museum, but for a lot of reasons, and I think some pretty obvious ones, it isn't normally open to the public. All the same, it's still sort of extraordinary that a place like that and that sort of recognition is still there in that city in Spain at this time. Ferrol's economy over the century was based on its powerful shipbuilding industry. It got started in the 18th century and life flourished. It became sort of a city of enlightenment. And by the end of the 19th century, business was booming. And the thing stayed fairly steady until the 1970s when the industrial crisis slammed many European countries, especially the ports. A lot of those cities, you know, even in the United States and in Europe, with heavy ports, a lot of heavy industry, suffered a lot in that period. Many of them have started to recover, but as something very different, because that age of shipbuilding, that age of industry has gone forever. Doesn't mean it's completely gone, but the way it used to be is gone forever. So these cities have had to make a great effort to diversify and think of other ways of doing it. One of them, obviously, is going to have to be tourism. Currently, the state-owned company of Navantia provides most of the work in that sector, in that city, mostly ships for the Navy. It's not what it used to be, but it's not all is lost. Now, another factor affecting the local economy was the end of what was once the required military service. Every month, you'd have a new set of 1,000 new recruits coming into the cities. Now, recruits, young men, were not generally huge spenders, but they did spend. And that was another source. But that's disappeared, too. So the city began to suffer from decay, which is what this woman Maria was telling me about with her pruners in her hand. Decades ago, there was money everywhere, and now it was drying up. There is some indicators that crisis is not over, especially when we talk about the population decline. Extreme population decline is never a good sign. Ferrol used to be Galicia's second most populated city. Used to have over 90,000 inhabitants. It is currently seventh, with nearly a third departing from what they used to call home. These are certainly bad indicators, I tell you. And they were conditioning heavily my opinion of the city before I even set foot there. And not just mine, everyone's really. Now, I'll save this for another time. I won't get into too much detail, but let me tell you that not all is lost by any stretch of the imagination, at least not seemingly so. The city is sort of recovering in certain ways. We'll just have to see where that goes. Now, one glimmer of hope came within a neighborhood I had never heard of before. It's called Canido, C-A-N-I-D-O. And it forms one of the four main districts in town. The other three are Ferrol Bello, which means Old Ferrol, A Magdalena, and another one called Esteiro. Canido is a worthy mention for a surprising reason. Canido's uniqueness in Ferrol stems from a tradition now called Meninas de Canido, a vibrant art project that transformed the formerly rundown neighborhood into a thriving open-air museum through contemporary murals inspired by Diego de Velázquez's famous painting Las Meninas. Now, Canino has existed for centuries. It used to be a village outside of Ferrol, but then it was eventually absorbed. It was a section that was essentially on the edge of town. And the buildings were low, one-story, two-story structures. There were sort of simple and fairly humble dwellings. But because of this decay, because of this crisis, because of the loss of employment, sort of that bleak future and the loss of population, a lot of these places were being abandoned and forgotten, and despair was starting to set in. Then in 2008, a local artist named Eduardo Hermida, or Hermida because it begins with an H, started this project that has since grown into an international attraction with new works added annually by artists from around the world, creating sort of this dynamic and visually rich environment which draws tourists and art lovers to the area. Now, in 2008, Hermida was with his daughter and with another friend, another artist named Jorge Cabezas, and they had completed some street art in a small square known as the Plaza de la Taona. Taona, T-A-H-O-N-A, is a kind of bakery which not only sells bread and other items, but actually bakes them. It makes them there. Most people think of a bakery as the word panaderia, but you sometimes see Taona, and especially in the country towns or the small cities. Anyway, one of the paintings done by Cabezas, I believe, was whited out, covered a few days later by a local resident. So the community decided to defend the works and promote more in the future. Early on, the handful of artists received the support from the locals, both morale-wise and in terms of nourishment, from neighbors who brought the food and drink as well as encouragement. And ever since then, the movement has grown and has turned this neighborhood into one of the hippest around. Just about every school of art, every style can be found. There are 500 works in all. They are all over the place, in every nook and cranny. There's even a Spanish version of the Banksy classic Kissing Cops, but with Guardia Civil officers. Now, its authenticity is subject to debate, though the general consensus is that it is not an original. In any event, it's sort of funny to see and adds to the magic of the place. Now, every first week of September, another edition takes place. The street art is expressed on different scales and in different styles. The 2025 program, which is coming up now on September 5th to September 7th, that weekend, just around the corner, 2 weeks from now, basically, includes the participation of some 28 artists, local, national, and foreign. And then there are 14 musical acts. There's going to be a market. There are going to be food stands, food trucks, and other artistic activities, I believe. Basically, a full-fledged festival. Every work that you find up there has to have some reference or allusion to the famous Velázquez painting known as Las Meninas. I was just telling you about that. And that the painting that is on display in Madrid's Prado Museum and is considered by many to be not only a major landmark in Spanish painting, but in universal painting. It really, it's up there in the top 10 greatest paintings of all time, at least in many rankings, although I don't believe in rankings very much, but just it's very important. And it's interesting because, you know, I guess this artist could have just said you can paint whatever you wanted, but I think he felt it would be good and probably safer and more sensible to have artists express themselves in all these different ways, be very creative, but stick a little bit to this common theme. And when you go there, you do see works of art which are very different. I mean, the even though it's that Menina, don't be expecting to find the exact same painting done the very same way. No, it's very creative, very original, and they go all over the place. Why was Las Meninas picked? Well, he considered it to be the greatest painting in Spanish art, full of symbolism and open to multiple interpretations, which is very true. That's a very good definition of that painting. He emphasized also the uniqueness of Velázquez, who was committed to the monarchy, but in reality, what he depicts in this painting are the servants and the Infanta, the Princess Margaret Teresa of Austria, in this work. And there's sort of a melancholic atmosphere evoked sort of the importance of childhood. Hermida considers it to be a very pop art work, actually a very modern work, and it's easily adaptable to any style or creativity. So that's one of the reasons. There are probably some other connections there. The word menina actually is from Portuguese and gallego, and it means girl. So there was a relationship there and others. So it seemed very suitable to pick this this painting as a common theme for the whole project. Now, some visitors have described this as sort of a fun and curious place for an alternative walk. And that is certainly part of it, but there seems to be something more to this. This is about revitalizing, restoring, resuscitating an aging and decaying district. This is an urban revival project. And that is exactly what has happened, at least to an extent. It's also about the power of grassroots action and communities coming together and working together for a common goal, for the common good. When my friends took me there to show me the neighborhood, my expectations were low, the way I liked them to be, and I was bowled over by what I saw. The feel, the vibe was magical. And that's considering I sort of caught it in a quiet day. It was a Sunday evening. I'm sure during the week, it has a more energetic feel to it. The works of art were fantastic. There were just a bit of everything going on there. All sorts of styles were employed, or even the older paintings, the one that might be 15 years old, they're starting to get a bit aged, old, a little faded. Victims of the climate up there is not too easy. It's pretty damp, it's pretty humid, cold, hot, bit of everything, lots of rain. And so you have some of those older paintings, but that makes it look cool too. I like the appearance of those older ones. They seem, and I think the artists have done that on purpose to let them age naturally. Many of the homes and the buildings have been spruced up. They're looking good. People are moving back in. Cafes. There's also some cafes and stores. I'd say the store part is something that they're still working on, bringing in more commercial activity. But there is definitely a real feeling of optimism, of hope, that things are happening. And that's always a very good thing. Now, I know I'm not the only one to say this or to do this. Thousands have preceded me, but it's still a fairly unknown place, both in Spain and abroad, especially abroad, obviously. But even in Spain, I talk to people about it and they're like, I'm not sure what you're talking about. But its popularity seems to be growing. And I would definitely, if you're in that, neck of the woods, go check it out. I really loved having the opportunity to share this with these friends, also friends who were from Ferrol. They were actually able to give me more detailed information about this neighborhood, and some of them, my grandmother lived in that house, and look what's happened to it, and things like that. So it was very cool. Now, whether or not they actually turn things around is sort of hard to say. A lot of things are going to have to happen to this city before we can have a clearer idea of that. But it's encouraging, and I urge you to go to Ferrol and enjoy Ferrol, see that city, and check out this wonderful project. And if you are really up for it, I wish I could do it this year, but I can't. Go to the Canido Fair, the festival itself, this September, just 2 weeks away, September 5th to September 7th. Enjoy the vibe and support the cause. Anyway, that'll be all for this podcast brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. Feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we greatly appreciate it. We work very, very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. Our podcasts are free, so that everyone can enjoy them, but we certainly appreciate the support and welcome you to do so if you can. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided in these podcasts. Or you can check us out on our YouTube channel. We're starting to work on that. And support us by subscribing and liking. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.